if you will. Just going to go back one there to this. You can see that trail, that road there out in Utah. And this is kind of what life is like, and we've been comparing it to the spiritual walk that we're on. And on the hike and the natural, you have things like path marks and landmarks. You have one another. You have other people to help you on your way. And sometimes you have a guide, right? No one tries to summit K2 in Nepal and climb the highest point on earth without a guide. It'd be crazy to think that you could do it on your own. And you can't. But God's provided for us landmarks and one another to help serve one another, love one another, to help us on our journey. And he promises to be our guide. He says in Psalm 32, I'll guide you on the best pathway for your life. There are lots of pathways in life. But your guide says, I'll guide you on the best pathway for your life if you'll just be willing to follow me. And he'll personally assure us, you can pay the fees, you can get the supplies, you can go over to Mount Everest and you can try to hike up. I don't know any guide who will say, I guarantee you'll make it to the top. As a matter of fact, people can pay tens of thousands of dollars in preparation. It takes months to get up there. And on that journey, many times they try and they're unable to do it. It's weather or it's fitness or it's provision or something else gets in the way, and they can try time and time again. But your guide says, hey, I'll give you a guarantee. He says, I'll give you a guarantee. It's my spirit. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to set the seal of my Holy Spirit on you. Here's what he says. Paul says to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1:22, he set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So if you placed your faith in God, if you're following Jesus as your guide on the journey, who's going to guide you in the best pathway you should go, he says, I'm giving you a guarantee, a deposit on what's to come. That's the best thing you're going to get from any guide, because nobody down here is going to guarantee that you make it to the destination. Well, this guide, who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond all that you can ask or think, he says, here's your guarantee right here. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And last week we spoke for just a little bit about this guide of ours and how he's a risk taker. He's a risk taker. Jesus could have remained in the comfort and safety of the Godhead, but the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are love. We talked about it. We sang about it this morning. God is love, right? And that love empowered him and compelled him to take a chance, to take a risk, to create, to look out instead of staying in the safety of where he was, to step outside of it and create. And then can you imagine to actually become vulnerable? You can't get much more vulnerable than a baby Hebrew boy born 2,000 years ago in Palestine. They were trying to kill baby boys at that time. And here comes a God who's willing, a guide for you, who's willing to take a risk. He's willing to take a risk to make himself vulnerable. Imagine the uncreated God submitting himself to the vagaries of human existence, to the confines of being on the earth as someone who's being pursued to be killed before you're born. That's the risk that Jesus took. That's the risk that he took for us. That's your guide. The one who's guiding you is a risk taker, and he calls us and invites us and beckons us to take a risk in the same way. A risk for the people around us and a risk for his glory and for your own good. Sometimes we can't see it, but it's for our good that he invites us on that journey to take a risk, to walk out on the ledge, to take a step of faith. He challenges us. And I put the question to everybody last week, are there any takers? Any takers? Anybody willing to step up and take a step of faith, to take a risk and say, God, what is it you're calling me to do? And I want to be willing to take the risk and to follow you wherever you lead me, wherever you go, I'm willing. And some of you crazy people raised your hand. There were some risk takers in the room who said, hey, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to say, God, whatever it is you call me to do, in sacrifice, in vulnerability to love the person next to me, in response to you, in worship, in obedience to you, Lord, I'm willing to take a risk. If you look throughout Scripture, The Lord, our guide, invited Abraham on a journey. He said, go to a place that I'll show you. He didn't show him. He didn't tell him exactly where. He just said, go. Will you take a risk? Come on, Abe. Will you follow me over here? Yeah, I'll show you. I'll show you where. Just start the journey. Abraham had to take a risk. He invited Esther by way of her cousin Mordecai to take a chance to petition the king on behalf of her people, which was against the cultural laws at the time. And you know what she said? She said, if I die, I die. She was willing to take a risk. In contrast to the culture, is there anybody in here who would like an Esther on behalf of God and on behalf of the people of God, be willing to take a risk and say, Lord, I'll let the chips fall. Whatever you're asking me to do, I'm willing to take the risk. Lord, raise up an Esther in our generation, Father, in our church family. Time and time again throughout Scripture, he invited Peter to step out of the boat, literally and figuratively as well, right? He said, come on, follow me. Forget what you're doing there. Just come and follow me. He had to take a risk. He had to drop his nets, put aside his vocation and say, following my guide on this journey who is going to lead me in the best pathway, I'm willing to even put aside my vocation. I'm willing to step out of a boat and take a risk time and time again. So all you takers last week, all you lunatics who raised your hand and said, I'm willing to take a risk, how's it been going? How's it going this week? Did you step up? Did you testify to somebody and say, hey, here's who God is, and yeah, here's what he's done in my life? Or maybe we said, maybe you have to take the risk of forgiving somebody. Did you take the risk this week? Did you go out on a limb and say, Lord, I'm gonna extend forgiveness. It doesn't matter if it's deserving. I'm gonna take the risk because, Lord, you took the risk to forgive me. And you're calling me to take the risk to love, to forgive somebody else. We saw the testimony last week from a young 18-year-old Brant Jean, whose brother had been killed in a terrible manslaughter case. And he said, I'm going to forgive. I forgive you. I love you, to the very person who took his brother's life. So how's it going? Are we taking the risk? Are we willing to go out on that ledge to follow him down the pathway wherever it leads? Sometimes the path that leads to life. You know, the scripture, I just read it this morning. It said it's a broad way that leads to destruction, but it's a narrow road that leads to life, and few that find it. Not very many. Not very many are willing to travel the narrow road. There's risk involved. There's some pain and heartache involved. Your guide, the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, he doesn't say, I'll never allow anything to hurt you. The Father allowed his Son to be hurt. He was willing to take that risk. Sometimes when we love, we're vulnerable and we are hurt in the process. But he says, here's a pathway to life. And you might think it would be in taking up your life and protecting yourself. He says, no, it's in making yourself vulnerable. Here's the pathway to life. It's dying to yourself. Who would take that risk today? I'd be willing to lay down my life for another. Speaking of following a guide and laying down our lives, taking a risk, we're going to hear from Frank Lavecchi, a young man who's been in this congregation since he was a child. And he's going to take a risk and have an intermediate mission to Burma or Myanmar, depending on which political affiliation you have. It's called different things in that part of the world. It's kind of contested. And Frank is going to be going on that trip in just a few weeks. And he's willing to take the risk. He's willing to take a step. And he wanted to thank everyone. You'll probably remember at our annual meeting in February and then again in June, I just let everybody know about this. And we received an offering on his behalf, and we're going to send him out on that. And he wanted to thank everybody, and he wanted to share a little bit about how you can stay connected with him as he goes, and then we're going to pray with him afterwards and send him on his way. So why don't you thank the Lord for the risk taker, Frank Lavecchi, who's going to come up here and just share for a minute. Yeah.
morning. How's everyone doing? Good. So I got an introduction from Pastor Joel, but if you don't know me, my name is Frank Lavecki. I was born into this church coming here. And I don't know, the world after a while got a hold of me and I kind of fizzled out, didn't come for a while. But the Lord is good. The Lord is trustworthy. The Lord wants to bring everyone unto himself, and including me. And he saved me in an amazing way. And just really quick on an update, I was in Wisconsin for the last 2 years or so at discipleship training. And now I feel led to go to Myanmar, to Burma. I'm going to be leaving in about 2 to 3 weeks, where I'll be there for a year in Calais, Burma. And it's pretty crazy because although I never actually been to Burma, but I got a couple friends that are over there now at the same ministry, and they're telling me all about it. And the spiritual atmosphere there is crazy. There's a war. There's a war for people's souls. And that's everywhere, you know, not only there, but here as well, you know, right here. And the Lord has put a burden for me to go there for a year, for a full year. So some of the things I'll be doing is I'm going there to teach English at a school, at a Christian school, where I'll be teaching around 3 or 4 classes a day, and then after doing ministry, because, you know, I just don't want to go there and teach English, and that's the end of it. You know, I want to share the gospel, the love of God, and everything like that. And so God has given me an opportunity to do that by ministering, by evangelizing there, by connecting me with an Assemblies of God church out there called Agape Assemblies of God, where there's plenty of opportunity not only to speak to the Christians and the saved, but the unsaved also and the lost and people that never heard the gospel. And so some of the things I'll be doing, like I said, teaching English mainly, ministry-wise, working with that church, what we'll be doing is working with an orphanage, and also they need someone to help start a youth group for 30 to 40 kids. Sorry, I thought that was me. So, yeah, they need somebody to help start a youth group for around 30 to 40 kids, for around elementary to middle school age kids. Also, they need an English speaking person to preach at their English service every week or every other week. So there's opportunity there to speak. And, you know, the Lord's really moving. The Lord's really moving in my life, and he's moving me there. So one of the things that you guys could pray for me for is for the spiritual atmosphere, and that the Lord would just have his way with me and through me. And it's not about me. It's really not. It's about just showing Christ to these people. And, yeah, so if you guys could just take that opportunity to just please pray for me in this next upcoming year and this next upcoming trip, then that's all the Lord asks, you know, that he upholds me in prayer. So, thank you.
Hey, Frank. Stay up here.
Frank, could you tell us, I know you've spoken about a newsletter or some way to stay in touch or something. Do you have that in the works, or do you have everything ready for that so people can stay connected? Where you at on that stuff?
So I have some prayer cards that I made up that are going to be put in the back of the church. So if you guys feel led, you know, you could take one just to remember to pray for me. And then also I'm going to be starting a newsletter. I don't think it's going to be monthly, maybe either bi-monthly or quarterly. And then, yeah, I'm in the works of setting that up right now. So like I said, I'm leaving in a couple weeks, in 2 or 3 weeks. So it'll be set up definitely before that, and there'll be a way of receiving my newsletter on how to stay in touch and what the Lord's doing in me and through me. And, yeah, so if you want to stay in touch, just ask me, and we could get you connected.
All right, good deal. And we'd like to pray for Frank as he goes. So I'm just going to maybe reach out, maybe Ralph Johnson, if you wouldn't mind coming up here and just praying with us. And maybe a couple of the guys, maybe Ryan, a couple of the guys who've been with him on this journey and watched his transformation in his life. It's not anything that happened by accident or by chance. It's by God's grace, and it's with, you know, men around him praying for him and just believing God Christian, maybe you could come up here and just pray with him. Yeah, Pastor Greg, that'd be awesome. How about we'll come right down here, guys? Come here. Awesome. Great.